You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Thanks for taking us along with you. Whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going, we appreciate it. Thank you. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Jay King from the wonderful city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jay King of The Athletic, and today we'll talk about the Kyrie Irving explosion that Jay witnessed. We'll also get into some of the we'll look ahead to the upcoming 24 games, the remainder of this season, what we can expect from the Celtics moving forward, maybe a little bit of playoff talk as well. But Kyrie kind of went off, and I hate to say it, but made a story out of something that shouldn't have been a story. He was asked about this video, which I think it was the video of him and Kevin Durant at the All-Star game talking, and people floated around trying to make it sound like they were talking about their free agency. Whatever they were talking about, who knows? So he was asked about it, and then he went off. I'm not going to read all of the quotes, but he basically was, you know, ranting about, like, I don't have a private life, and this doesn't make the league fun anymore, and he was kind of railing back, Jay, at the thought that he should even have to give this video and whatever people think of it any sort of comment at all. Like, he was asked to pour water on it, and he's like, what does that mean? So you were there, you saw it. Why don't you give us the play-by-play, the perspective from what you saw?
It just seems like another scenario where Kyrie could have just made this a non-story. He could have laughed and said, obviously, we weren't talking about two max contract slots. Obviously, we weren't sitting there in front of people at the All-Star game talking about our free agency. And instead, he turned it into a thing. And, I mean, he did say it was, I believe he said the word fictitious somewhere in there. I said, this is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing bullshit like that of just figuring things on what we're talking about. It's just, it's crazy. So he called it fictitious.
Yeah.
He could have made it a lot easier, I think, on himself, and he didn't have to make this a big thing. I understand why he's annoyed that there's all this noise around him, but I think if he's annoyed by all the noise, there are just a lot better ways for him to handle it and for him to squash the noise and for him to pour water.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed. I understand why he's frustrated. I get it. I would, as a person, hate to have people totally just make things up and have amateur lip readers out there saying that I was talking to one of my good friends about something that I wasn't, or whatever the case may be. Like, that's got to be annoying. It's got to be frustrating. But I do think also, like, he has now made this a thing when he didn't have to, and maybe he wants to make it a thing. Maybe he wants to, you know, point out how dumb the media is and how dumb the internet is and how ridiculous it is that we even felt the need need to ask him questions about the video with Kevin Durant. And this is all just manufactured BS.
Yeah.
And so I get where he's coming from, but I just think he can handle these situations better so that he doesn't just light flames on fire.
Yeah, there's so many layers to this. I don't know about asking the question about this. Like, I get it. Fine, that's a personal decision asking the question. I don't want to give that video any credence. Not the video itself, but first of all, the people who disseminate that video and put the, in quotes, Kyrie Irving saying two max slots, it's time, or whatever the person said it was, like, and distributing it as if it's a fact, and then no responsibility at all from anybody. It's Twitter, and people see it and retweet it. There's no time being taken to say, well, who's even saying this? Is that really what they're saying? So from Kyrie's perspective, I'd be super pissed about that, because it's just two dudes talking, and who knows what, even if they were talking about that, like, it's the feeling like you've got this invasion happening. But obviously, I would say that's not the place for them to be talking about that. That wouldn't be where they were talking about that. And for somebody to pretend or throw it out there that that's what they were talking about in that moment and present it as fact, I'd be super pissed.
But he could just laugh about it too.
He could, yes.
Like, he could turn this into a joke. He could pivot away from that being important at any point.
Right.
And so I get why it frustrates him. I get, honestly, like, a lot of people were talking about that. Some writers were tweeting it. I saw, like, legitimate people tweeting it, the video. So I didn't hate that it was asked. The question was asked, but also, like, I don't know. It's a very complicated situation. Yeah,
but see, this is the debate. And okay, so let me just say, okay, I agree. Kyrie Irving does himself no favors in this. He could have said, like, he could have just shook his head and said, "Nah, I got nothing to say about that."
But you know, maybe that's not what he wanted to do.
Right.
Maybe who knows? Maybe he instead wanted to turn it into a thing and just point out how ridiculous it was.
Sure.
That this thing has become a thing.
And I like that point. I think that it's important. For me, my biggest takeaway in this is, why did this thing become a thing? And why did reputable people tweet that out with the lip reading saying, "Oh, did Kyrie just say this?" Like, I'm big on a little bit more, like, responsibility here. So some idiot takes this video and spreads it with a quote that he has no clue if that's accurate or not. That's one thing. That's social media. That's the bad side of social media. People retweeting things that, like, whatever. That's gossip, and that happens. When actual journalists who are supposed to be trained in ethics and have, like, judgment and say, "Huh, that's clearly not what he's saying," or, "We can't be sure that's what he's saying," for people in the actual media to say, "Oh, look at this," like, that to me, that crosses a little bit of a line, and it gives that thing a level of credence that it doesn't deserve. Like, I'm all for asking these guys the questions of legitimate things. If you want to ask him a question about him talking to Kevin Durant, like, "Wow, you were really hanging around a lot with Kevin Durant," like, you, whatever. That's one thing. If you want to say, you want to frame it a different way. But what bugs me the most is that this bullshit viral post that was completely fabricated was given any level of credence by anybody with any legitimacy. Like, that to me, I think, is a lack of responsibility to perpetuate something, a quote, attributing a quote to a player without having the direct knowledge of saying, "Huh, that's what he said." Like, that's irresponsible for people to do.
But then that's why you asked the question of Kyrie. Because a lot of people were, and then Kyrie
said
everything that he said.
I mean, like, anybody can take a video of Kyrie. But
I don't think anyone in the Boston media even addressed it.
And I don't think so.
I got added in my Twitter mentions a lot of times, and I didn't even respond to any of it. Like,
There were media. I saw New York media do it. I saw other people do it. And it's what I don't like is, and this can happen to any player. You take Anthony Davis having a conversation with, I don't know, LeBron James. Let's say they're talking to each other and someone says, "Oh, look at this," and tries to read their lips and puts a quote there. And if it blows up and becomes viral, then it becomes, now you have to ask a player about something that went viral because what? Because somebody attached a juicy quote to something that may not have been said. Like, anybody can now take any video, any picture, and put a quote to it. And if it blows up enough, then, oh, well, we got to ask the question. Like, that, I don't like that. I don't like that part of this whole thing. Like, that part really bugs me. Because I think it hurts our reputation as people who are just trying to do a job and actually cover this team and this league.
But, it was a big talking point. So if it's become a big talking point among people, I get why you ask Kyrie about it. Like, that's not unreasonable, and he can squash it. He can say whatever he wants at that point. But I think the question, once it got to a certain point, once it was viral, and it was viral, like, there were a lot of people sharing that. Like, that got everywhere, whether it was because people thought he might have been saying it, whether it was just because people were overreacting to Kyrie having a chat with Kevin Durant, whatever the case may be. And so I see it both ways. In a lot of ways, we work in a dumbass industry, man. And there are so many things about social media that are just strange. And a video like that where they're being filmed, first of all, in a private moment that isn't meant for everybody else. They're just having a conversation between the two of them that gets taken out of context. It gets misconstrued. It gets somebody slaps on. Put your lip readers are out here trying to figure out what happened. And I think guessing wrong, positive guessing wrong on what happened or what was said. Now I'm amateur lip reading the amateur lip readers, and so now we have this other layer of freaking stupidity, and so the whole thing is so dumb. And so Kyrie, like, he has a lot of points in his piece, or in his little back and forth, the exchange. I get where he's coming from. It's there are a lot of parts of this, and especially when you're a player of that caliber and a player who has such a magnifying glass on him at all times. Some of the stuff that comes with it is so stupid, but also you have to deal with it. And that too is dealing with it and talking to the press and addressing things like stupid viral videos. And you can either make it a small thing, or Kyrie in this case decided to make it a little bigger thing, by kind of having this back and forth and this animated discussion about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on about this forever. There are definitely elements of this that I don't like, but I also agree that Kyrie, like, depends on what Kyrie's motivation was. And we all look at it from the lens of, well, Kyrie could have made this a non-story because I think it should be a non-story, so I was hoping that he would because I think the whole thing is stupid. But maybe he doesn't want it, like you said, maybe he doesn't want it to be a non-story. Maybe he wants to highlight the stupidity of everything that's happening and draw attention to it. And hell, maybe part of it is him saying, I'm going to take this heat and make this a storyline and take away from the Celtics versus Bucks and take the pressure off of the other guys, and I'm just going to sit here because I don't care.
And so that's what you think he's doing?
No, I'm saying it's possible. I mean, it's possible that he's trying to.
Oh, man. I would be very surprised if he wanted to take the focus off Celtics box and was therefore doing this. But
well, Jay, I tell you what. If my take goes viral enough, we could ask him about it.
But hopefully this goes viral. Viral as hell. Get the listener gods. We need a lot of listener gods on this thing.
I'm going to say I'm starting to really get fed up with just the stupidity of Twitter. The fact that this thing became a thing really bugs me. And then the thing that happened to you, which happened to me before, happens all the time. People stealing tweets and they're like, like that's just so dumb. Like chasing clout by just taking copying and pasting a tweet, and then sometimes if you're lucky attributing it to the source, most of the time not. It's just one of the things that I hate. Just oh god, I mean, just so the whole thing is so stupid. All right, well, we'll just leave that there. There, I'm sure another stupid Twitter thing is going to come on to give us, and Kyrie will make a something out of whatever. Down the road, we'll talk about that then. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about actual basketball, Celtics versus Bucks, and looking forward to the rest of the Celtics schedule and the rest of the season. Stick around here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Celtics Bucks tonight, Thursday night. We're back. Basketball is back, baby. And Boston starts a really tough stretch. Milwaukee, Chicago, not as tough, but Toronto and then Portland on a back-to-back. Portland at home, that's going to be really tough. And then the March West Coast trip, some really tough games here. So, Jay, let's start with tonight's game, the Celtics and the Bucks.
I'm so happy we're talking about basketball again.
I know. Isn't that great? Like, it's so much fun to talk about actual basketball. Celtics-Bucks, is this – I mean, it's a big game, but if the Celtics don't win, I don't think the result – I don't want to say it. I don't think the result matters, but I don't think the Celtics winning or losing this game either way is indicative of – how these teams would match up in the playoffs. I don't think these two teams are going to give everything. They're not going to play all of their cards in this game. So this is going to be a great game, but I don't think this is any sort of indicator for a playoff series between these two, no matter what happens.
I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see what happens between these teams again. If you remember the first time they played, the Celtics got like 50-something three-pointers.
Yeah.
And most of them were wide open. And Marcus Morris came out after the game and said, you know, it was like practice three-pointers. We were wide open. And so I'm interested to see now with Marcus Morris and Al Horford play in the second game between these two teams, whether they can still manufacture the type of three-point looks that they did in the first meeting. And I think that's one of the things that could echo in the playoffs if they meet again. I think obviously the Bucks have Brook Lopez, who's not equipped to guard the arc, and they have Mike Budenholzer, whose teams often got ripped apart behind the arc in the playoffs when he was in Atlanta. So I think that's a valid area to gauge and to watch and what happens between these two teams. Obviously, it's a regular season game. Like, what happens isn't going to define the rest of the season. It's not going to define what happens if these teams meet again in the playoffs. But I'm interested to see whether the Celtics can take advantage of Brook Lopez, how viable he will be in a matchup between the two teams in the playoffs. That, to me, is one of the biggest storylines. I don't know if storyline is the right word, but that to me is one of the biggest factors of a potential meeting with them. Can they play Brook Lopez off the court? Because he's become such a good three-point shooter. He's become so key to the spacing they provide for Giannis that if they can't play him because he can't match up with Horford and he can't match up with Marcus Morris, I think that's a serious issue for Milwaukee. And they could still win. They still have tons of other good players. They still have Giannis, who's probably the best player in the East. But the Brook Lopez matchup, I really want to see. And with Horford back and with Horford healthy and with Horford playing as well as he has lately, that to me is a matchup that really has a lot of weight.
Yeah, I mean, the Horford matchup is the matchup. Like the answer the Celtics have to any of the moves that have been made in Toronto, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia, it's Al Horford. When we've seen Al Horford is the guy that can help play Joel Embiid off the floor. We saw that already. I do agree. There is something to be said there. Like if they literally cannot play Brook Lopez against Al Horford, if then that does present a challenge. But we'll see. I don't know if that or how they'll handle that. If that presents itself and they don't have an answer for that, what do they do? Do they just keep playing Brook Lopez and say, we're not going to tip our hand as to how we would combat that? I would assume if you and I are talking about the Al Horford matchup and Brook Lopez being key, then the people in Milwaukee know that Al Horford and Brook Lopez, that matchup is a key. They have to have some sort of answer, some sort of counter for that. But they're not going to give us that answer right now. They're not going to do anything in this game that says, oh, okay, here's how we're going to play it. Unless, I don't know, maybe they do want to send a message to the Celtics to get them a little shook and say, ha, here's our trump card. Chew on that.
Or not even. Maybe you just want to practice against Al Horford, because there are very few bigs with his ability to space the court and his ability to make plays and drive closeouts. I think that's what separates Al Horford from a lot of other centers in that matchup. Is one, he can really shoot the ball from the 3-point arc, but two, if your closeout isn't good, he can go by you and he's great at making plays. And he causes issues for Embiid that way. He causes issues for Lopez that way. And like we said, Al Horford is in so many ways just a critical piece for the Celtics, not because of just everything he does for them, but also because of how major he should be in some of their most important matchups that they could see come playoff time. So that's one to me. And then the Mirotić. I want to see Mirotić with the Bucks. I want to see the first look at how he fits in and how he adds to the spacing, and another look at whether he can hold up against the Celtics defensively. He didn't hold up very well when the Pelicans hosted earlier this season. And he had a great night offensively. I think he had 20-something points. He hit a slew of three-pointers. But the Celtics really attacked him a lot in that matchup. And he's another guy they could attack. So Milwaukee, man, they've been the kings of the East so far in the regular season. But they have guys who aren't necessarily great at guarding the perimeter in some cases, and some of those guys are pretty important, like Lopez and Mirotić. So the best four teams in the conference, the matchups between them are so fun the rest of the year. Just seeing what the matchups could be, whether it's Horford and Embiid, Horford Lopez, you know, Celtics guards trying to take advantage of Mirotić in goal, or, you know, Toronto, so many matchups there, their depth and their players everywhere. I'm so in on the Eastern Conference now with the top four teams just beefed up. I'm very excited to see some of the Celtics' bigger games over the last 24 games of the season, including Milwaukee, Toronto, in Golden State, the remaining game against the 76ers. Celtics have a tough schedule. They have six toughest remaining schedule based on opponents' winning percentage. And they got a lot of tough games left, so they're going to have to earn it if they're going to get the 4 seed or move up to the 3 seed.
I agree on the Al Horford, like I've said a million times about Al Horford, the thing that makes him so valuable to the Celtics is there's no duplication on this team for what Horford does and why the Celtics can withstand like Kyrie Irving going down for, you know, an extended period of time is that they've got guards, they've got wings, they've got people on the perimeter. They can step up and play a little different, but they've got guys who can step up and kind of obviously not duplicate Kyrie Irving, but fill in and do an okay enough job where other players can pick up the slack. There's nobody on the Celtics and a few players in the league that do what Al Horford does. It's just a stretch big like that, that passes the way he does, that is as smart defensively as him. That's what makes him so valuable.
Are you disrespecting the Tice God?
I'm not in any way disrespecting the Tice God, but
okay, cool.
But
just want to make sure.
Yeah, but he also lacks a few things, but that's okay. That's okay. That's fine. Let's take a break, and we can get into the stuff that you talked about, the schedule and all that moving forward. So that's the Bucks. We'll get back to we'll get back in a minute here and talk about where the Celtics might end up moving forward for the rest of the season here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Jay, the Boston Celtics are now 6.5 games out of first place behind Milwaukee. If they win, obviously they get within 5.5. So it is big if you're looking for that higher seed. It's to gain a full game right out of the break is a big deal. But with 24 games left, this is going to be tough. They're 7 games behind Milwaukee in the loss column. They are 5 games behind Toronto in the loss column, and they are 1 behind Indiana. Where do you see the Celtics? What's the most reasonable result moving forward, seed-wise, for the Celtics?
I think they'll be either 3 or 4. I think Indiana's going to drop to 5, and I think Philly will be either 3 or 4. I don't think 1 or 2 is possible at this point. There's just too much ground to make up. Those teams have been too good. The Celtics would have to play almost flawless basketball the rest of the way, and they'd have to beat a lot of good teams considering their schedule. So I don't see them climbing to 1 or 2. I think 3 for them, maybe the best case scenario. I don't even know if that is the best case scenario. 4 might be. They might match up better against Milwaukee, Toronto. I don't know if that's true. I'm just kind of spitballing here. I think if you're playing any of the four best teams in the Eastern Conference, they're all going to be very good. They're all going to test each other in a lot of ways. And, I mean, unless they could match up against Philadelphia, who they've given problems to historically, even though Philly's different now. And that's probably impossible for the first round, unless the Pacers stay in 3. Who knows? but you don't want Philly in the first round either. So best case scenario, either 3 or 4, Milwaukee or Toronto in round 2. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough
it's
ride.
Gonna be tough.
It really is.
I think
they're going to have to earn it. They're going to have to earn it on the road.
Yeah. I like them. I like them as the 3 seed. First of all, they get the tiebreaker over Philly. So right now they're tied. So I like that. Eventually, I would expect the Pacers to drop at least a little bit. Who knows? They've done a great job rallying without Oladipo, but that's at some point that's going to stop. So I think the Celtics can get past Indiana and move up to 3rd. There's just no way they're going to catch Milwaukee or Toronto. I mean, Toronto ends their season with, really kind of easy schedule. Just working backwards, the last game of the season is Minnesota, Miami, Charlotte, Brooklyn, Orlando, Chicago, New York, Chicago, Charlotte. OKC on March 22nd is really the last good team that they face. Brooklyn's good, but Minnesota's okay. So those aren't gimmies, but that's a really easy stretch to close out the last couple of weeks of their season. So they could really cruise. Milwaukee has a similarly easy schedule, not quite as easy, but I mean, they end on OKC, but Atlanta, Brooklyn, Philly, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Clippers. It's not quite as easy. I overstated that, but they have very winnable games down the stretch. The Celtics, they still have to go out west. They have to play Golden State. Sacramento game's no gimme. They've already lost to the Clippers and the Lakers, though. They should win those games, but they still have to play Philly again, which is tough, even though they've got their number. Those couple of Indiana games are no gimmies.
Rockets, Spurs, like, they got a lot of tough games left.
Yeah, and it's not just can they Nuggets? Win those games. Yes, the Nuggets, that's going to be really tough. It's not just can they win those games. Can they win enough of those games while those other two teams lose enough of those games to gain that much ground? And I don't think so.
It ain't happening.
It ain't happening. I agree that it ain't happening. So I think the Celtics will end up with the third seed, which would match them up if everything went, if everything else kind of broke the same way. They would face the Brooklyn Nets, which would be an interesting series. The Brooklyn Nets is the sixth seed. That's amazing. I'm excited for the Brooklyn Nets. I like their team. That won't be an easy series. Charlotte, Detroit.
I think it would.
You think it'd be an easy series?
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, they can't let up against the Nets. Like, they can't go in there thinking like this is going to be a they should win the series, but I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I don't know, we'll see. That's way down the road, but if they end up with the third seed, they face Brooklyn and they get past that, then they would face Milwaukee in the second round, right? If assuming Milwaukee got through, and then they would face. So it would probably go Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Toronto, if they were to get to the NBA final. That's a tough road. This is gonna be tough for the Celtics to do this, and they'll start both of those Milwaukee and Toronto series on the road. Man, that's gonna be tough. What do you think?
Where the 10-10 start still haunts them.
It does. What do you think? If you can drill it down to one thing, what's the most important thing for the Celtics to happen for them to have a real chance to actually get to the conference finals?
Be healthy and play together.
No, seriously, like playing together is like super important.
Yeah. Be healthy, play together. I still think they have, if not the highest ceiling in the East, they're very close to it. When they're playing well and when they have guys going, they can play a two-way brand of basketball with badass defense, and Kyrie's shot making, leading the way offensively with a lot of skilled, capable players around him, and Horford causing matchup problems. But they're going to need to develop those habits and be more consistent. And this has been, it's been an inconsistent team. It's been a team that hasn't always responded well to basketball adversity. And it's been a team that when things are going right, you think like, wow, this team has a chance to accomplish all of its goals. And then when things go wrong, you're like, damn, this team is really just brutal to watch. So they need to figure some things out. But the playoffs are a different beast, and they have a lot of guys who are matchup problems, who proved to be matchup problems for other teams in the past. And they have Kyrie, who I've said this before, he is him back in the playoffs for the first time since leaving LeBron is something that probably not enough people discuss. Like, Kyrie in the playoffs is an absolute magician, and he raises his game, and he always has stepped up to the challenge, and he always has been a guy who, deep in the playoffs, can just score and score and make more plays and make more plays. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing Kyrie in the playoffs again, and want to see what he looks like with Al Horford and what Brad Stevens can do with Kyrie and Al Horford and all their other options healthy. I still think their ceiling is damn high.
I agree. I think the single most important thing for the Celtics, aside from the focus, I'm going to go with Gordon Hayward being consistently good. If he can continue to be even what he's been over the past 7-9 games or so, like in February, he is averaging just under 15-5-5, somewhere in that range. Shooting the lights out, and he's getting to the line. The shooting I don't expect to continue, but it's still, if it can be good, if we can get 15-5-5 out of Gordon Hayward consistently, like that, that's a
how about the bad luck of him twisting his ankle over the All-Star break?
I know. I mean, come on. At least it was the right ankle, but it's still like this guy can't. He keeps missing out on these opportunities to get like work in when, you know, when the team's not in action. That's bad luck. Luckily, it's not
right
that
when
bad.
He right when he started to hit his stride. Yeah, it seems like he'll be back very shortly, but still,
it sucks.
Like, he played some of his best games of the season right before the All-Star break. Sounded really excited about going to the facility every day and working out and having more time to work on that strength in his ankle, and then he twisted his ankle playing one-on-one with Semi Ojeleye.
Ugh.
Just stinks.
Brutal. So hopefully he's okay. It doesn't sound like it's going to be too bad, but I think a consistent Gordon Hayward snaps so much into place, I'm going to go with that. I think it'd be huge to get him back consistent and get those numbers out of him on a regular basis. So we'll see how that goes. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We hope you are going to subscribe. If you're a new listener, hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Please do. We really appreciate that. If you are a regular subscriber, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating, a good review. Really helps us out. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. We're back post-game. Celtics-Bucks. Basketball is back. The break is over. And we'll talk about it tomorrow on the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah. Corrales, Packard, and J. King.